Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And welcome to a different sort of programme on the subject of Christmas. We've done lots of Christmas programmes already, like telling the story, Christmas music, Christmas characters, Christmas worship sketches, what Christians believe about Christmas and so on. But in this particular programme, let's get past the razzmatazz of the commercial Christmas, the customs and traditions and sentimental Christmas, the religious and pious Christmas, the theology and beliefs about Christmas, and enter into Christmas through our imagination, through our feelings. Let's be sensitive and empathetic and get inside the heart and soul of those involved in Christmas, namely God and ourselves. Christmas is all about God coming to us in love, to restore our broken relationship with Himself. So how does God feel about it? How do we feel about it? Let's explore this right now, and perhaps it will make Christmas life-changing for us this year. Here's a Christmas carol stressing the point that God became human to reconcile us to Himself. God came down to earth to raise us up to heaven. This is the Wells Cathedral Choir.
Thank you.
So let's look at Christmas first from God's point of view, then later from our human point of view. The Bible says that God is love. Love wants to love. So God made the world and filled it with human beings, including us, so that he could love us. He created us in love. He looks after us lovingly. When we go wrong, he fixes things because he loves us and wants the best for us. When we hurt him, breaking his rules, and worse than that, breaking his heart, he does what it takes to heal the broken relationship between us and himself. This is where Christmas comes into the picture. Christmas is God coming down to earth, getting alongside us, becoming one of us, a fully human being, so that he can sort us out and get us back on the rails again. The Bible describes this as God, the Good Shepherd, finding his lost sheep and bringing them back home rejoicing. In the prodigal son parable, the good father welcomes his wayward son back home again, even though he's behaved very badly. In truth, God does much more than that even. He goes into the far country to get his children to come home again. God does not leave us to our own devices. He does not abandon us to the folly of our ways. He never gives up on us. G.K. Chesterton, the writer, describes him as the hound of heaven, on our trail, sniffing us out, coming to round us up. John Calvin, the reformer, puts it this way: the judge of all the earth sat in judgment with his gown and wig and pronounced that the wages of sin is death. We have sinned, so we deserve to die. We are guilty. However, God the judge is merciful and gracious. He takes off his gown and wig and steps down from the judgment seat. He crosses the courtroom and steps into the dock alongside us. Then, to everyone's astonishment, he offers to take our punishment, our death, on himself, on our behalf as our representative. So he comes to earth and dies on the cross on Calvary Hill. All these pictures are trying to explain the same point. God in love takes all the hurts that we give him, and he still bounces back, loving us time after time. This story is a common one in all our daily relationships. We often hurt the one we love, but if they love us enough, they forgive us over and over again. They take the hurts, and then they return love and grace and mercy, rather than cutting us off as we deserve. We get the inspiration to do this from God himself. He's our role model in this, and we can only copy him if he helps us to be able to do it. It is certainly not easy, someone once said, to err as human, to forgive divine. Here's Don Francisco.
Saw the day, and everything I've done has been to help you on the way. But you took all that you wanted, then at last you took your leave. And traded off a kingdom for the lies that you've believed. And although you've chosen darkness with its miseries and fears, although you've gone so far from me and wasted all these years, even though my name's been spattered by the mire in which you lie, I'd take you back this instant if you turn to me and cry. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. All yours if you'll come home again to me. And when you've come back to your senses and you see who's been to blame, remember all the good things were yours with just my name. And then don't waste another thought before you change the way you're bound. I'll be running out to meet you if you you'll only turn around. Just turn around. I don't care where you've been sleeping. I don't care who's made your bed. I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours if you come home again to me. I don't care where you've been sleeping. I don't care who's made your bed. I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours if you'll come home again to me.
What is so amazing is that God, in all his infinite greatness, wants a relationship with the likes of us. In all his perfection, he's patient with our limitations. In all his purity, he puts up with us and our impurities. In all his powerfulness, he's gentle with us. In all his goodness, he accepts us, warts and all. And he will go to any lengths to heal us and forgive us and reconcile us to himself. He's even prepared to die on a cruel cross for us. Greater love has no one than being willing to lay down their life for someone else. And the Bible points out that God was willing to lay down his life for you and me while we were still sinners. Before that, he made a huge personal sacrifice for us in leaving his comfort zone of heaven and coming to such a messy world as ours. Born in a stable, far from home, and I don't mean Nazareth, I mean heaven. Think about the implications for God. Use your imagination. Feel it. The creator of the universe was confined to a manger in a stable. The Almighty was a little baby wetting his nappies. The wise God was a gurgling little baby in a manger. The perfect Holy One went into a sin-polluted world. Let me boggle your mind slightly further with this. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God. So there's a threeness about God and a oneness about God. You could think of him as three people who are really, really close and in one spirit and mind. Or you could think of this as the one person having an inner dialogue with themselves from three angles. Either way, it's the one God thinking about creating the world and how it's going to develop. This is how Christmas began, and I'm very grateful for help with this sketch from Roger Patterson and Gary Music. So, shall I create the world or not?
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Why should we? Then again, why not?
Well, there's much to be said on both sides.
We don't have to.
No, we don't have to do anything.
And we do already have a splendid unity and fellowship within ourselves.
It's not like we're lonely or anything.
But it would be nice to find another outlet for our infinite love.
As God the Father, I would like to have children to love.
As God the Son, you have me.
And me.
Yes, of course, but we have such a perfect unity of love already. Don't you fancy a new challenge?
In what way?
Like loving less than perfect creatures.
We could love the unlovely, heal the brokenhearted, support the weak.
I didn't know you were a compulsive rescuer.
And if you didn't create them, there wouldn't need to be any ugly, broken-hearted weaklings.
We could love the ugly into becoming beautiful. Frogs could turn into princes.
It would give us quite a buzz to comfort the sad and help people to be all that they can be.
I could enable them to do things they dare not even dream about.
Wouldn't it be fun to have millions of partners, co-creators, channels of our love?
Not robots, but willing partners.
Yes, we could be covenant partners, wedded together by our boundless love.
And we could work together as a team, human and divine.
They could be our hands and feet and voice.
They could be the channels of our love to one another.
True, but what if they don't play along with us?
What if they rebel against us?
If you give them real choices, they might make wrong choices.
They will not be so wise as us, so there's a good chance they will make mistakes. In fact, you can be sure of it.
But that need not be the end of the world.
No, people can learn from their mistakes.
But mistakes can cost a lot, an awful lot.
But surely we could redeem the situation somehow.
How?
We can teach them and guide them and inspire them.
We could give them scriptures and prophets.
Give them teachers and preachers.
We could send them angels and signs.
We could give them brains to think and hearts to feel.
We could make them sensitive to our promptings.
But what if they still get lost and fall and fail and blow it?
I could be the good shepherd seeking out his lost sheep.
And I could open their eyes and hearts to respond to you.
Love hurts. To have creatures to care for will cost. It is sacrificial.
We know that, but love is prepared to pay the cost. I'm ready to sacrifice myself.
And I'm right behind you. I will breathe new life into dry bones.
So, is that agreed? We shall create man and woman in our image. In other words, like ourselves, able to give and receive love, both human and divine love.
And if they fail, when they fail, I will go and pick them up.
And I will teach them to walk better the next time.
So how shall we go about it?
I'll go down to Earth and get alongside them and show them the error of their ways and how life should be lived.
You will need to make sure they get the message.
We can prepare the way by giving scriptures and prophecies.
I will not blind them by my holy light. I will rather come among them in a way that they can relate to. I know. I'll come into the world in exactly the same way that they do, by being born as a baby.
The danger then is that they underestimate you and think you are just another human baby. We will need to do something special. I know we'll arrange angels to announce your birth, wise men to act as witnesses, and a star to show them the way to go. We could also get some humble shepherds to witness the arrival of the Good Shepherd.
I'm sure we can get through to them and show them that we exist and that we love them.
By my sacrificial suffering, I will expose their sinfulness and dent their high opinion of themselves.
We will show them just how much they crucify us every day.
We will absorb the hurt and return love for hate. We will forgive them.
We will bounce back from everything that they throw at us, including death.
And we will put a new spirit in them. Christmas will be their birth too.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, do you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand?
Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know?
Oh, Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know?
The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again.
One day rule the nation.
Did you know that
your baby boy is heaven's perfect land. The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Is the great
I am.
Ooh, 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 ooh. He is the King of Kings.
He's the Lord of Lords.
He's the Prince of
So one day, God came down to earth and was born as the man, Jesus. Fully God, fully man. We've been exploring it through God's side of it. Now let's finish by looking at our human response to it. Jesus is our fellow human being, our brother, our fellow sufferer, our representative, our leader, the one on behalf of the many, the perfect human being. He lives as human beings were always meant to live, loving God, obeying God, honouring God. We fail, but Jesus succeeds. He did not sin, but the sinless one took all our sin on his shoulders and died our death. So our sins are crucified, dead and buried, once and for all, and forgiven and forgotten. He paved the way for us to rise from death, from sin. He wiped the slate clean and gave us another chance in our relationship with himself. He pioneered a way for us to rise to heaven and to live at home with him forever in eternity. Not in our own right, not by our own merit, but by his grace and mercy, as his friends and loved ones, we gain entry into the fullest life, now and ever after. Our old self, with its old ways, is dead and gone. We're born again, become new creatures. A new self has come, and our joy is complete. We enjoy life in all its fullness, and we are happy. Christmas is not just celebrating the birth of a baby Jesus, a long time ago. We are celebrating the birth of God in our midst, and we are celebrating the rebirth of ourselves as a direct consequence. So bye for now, and Merry Christmas when it comes. And it will truly be Merry Christmas on whichever day the penny drops for you that your loving God is down to earth and with you and for you. This is the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.